Ms. Doty's husband, Brother Sidney, and ask that we specifically pray that she would be able to get into a nursing facility for rehab. There's some technicalities out there that complicate it, and don't want to go into all those details with you, but would you just specifically pray that they would be able to get into that? She definitely needs rehab. Without it, they'll just have to take her home, and that's going to be an even greater challenge, all right? So, because she cannot walk, she can't put any weight on either one of her feet, all right? One leg is broken, the other one, the ankle is broken, so you can't put any weight on either foot. So pray for her, all right? Pray that that would work out, that she could get that rehab. She definitely needs it. Also, if you would, I've got a cousin. Her name is Cheryl Williams, and I'd appreciate you praying for her. She's going to have surgery this coming Friday. She lives down in southeast Texas, and she's been here in our church a few times, but it's been a good while. Last time she was here for Mom's funeral, but do pray for her. Her name again is Cheryl Williams. All right, you find Deuteronomy chapter 1. Drop down, if you will, to verse 38. The Bible said, "But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it." Now look in chapter 3, if you will, verse 28. Verse 28, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28. "But charge Joshua and encourage him, and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see." I've been preaching on Wednesday night trying to be wise about some things, get wisdom. One of the greatest problems with people in our day is we don't have much wisdom. And it's not so much about the hard things or the difficult things. A lot of times we just need wisdom about very simple things. And we lose track of that. We are always looking for the big things. We miss the little things. If we'd get the little things figured out, we'd take care of the big things, all right? So I've been trying to do that. It's a very practical message. And tonight, believe it or not, you'll never guess. I won't preach to you on be wise about encouragement. Brother Oftedal was praying, and he mentioned encourage. Being encouraged, and I said, "Amen, brother. All right, that's good. Just be wise about encouragement." Now, the word encouragement's not found in your Bible, but the word encourage and encouraged is found on numerous occasions. All right, so encouragement is something we sort of take for granted, but the truth of the matter is, everybody has needed or will need encouragement at some point, for some circumstance, or some purpose in your life. You're going to need it. Truth be told, you're going to need it more than once. If you live very long, you need encouragement, all right? I don't believe there's too many people here who would raise their hands and preach, "I ain't never been discouraged." Not me, never. But we've been discouraged. Now, you can say, "Well, preacher, we ought not to be discouraged. Man, it's a sin." Okay, we sin in other ways too, all right? But because we get discouraged. Discouragement is something that we just kind of have to deal with, all right? Here's Joshua. Joshua is about to get the biggest job you could ever get handed to you. And he knows the kind of people he's dealing with. I mean, you know, a lot of times people say, "Well, I'd like to run the show. I'd like to be the head. I'd like to run the show." I kind of wonder if Joshua didn't sometimes think, "Lord, pick somebody else. I've already had to deal with this unruly bunch, you know, and I know how ornery they are." But he was fixing to take the place of Moses. He was fixing to be given the job to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And twice the Lord says, "Encourage him. Encourage him." He needed to be encouraged. All right, man, going to face some tough things. You're going to need to be encouraged. You're going to need it. But can I say this to you? you're also going to be needed to give encouragement. Sometimes we focus on the wrong end of encouragement. Well, I sure would like to have some encouragement. Why doesn't somebody... Well, wait a minute. How much encouragement do you give? How much do you encourage, all right? Just want to look at a few things tonight about this thing of encouragement. There's obviously a need for encouragement. Nobody would say, preacher, you're wasting your time preaching on this. Nobody needs it. We all need it. We need encouragement. You say, why? Number one, we're human. We're human. Take your Bible over to the New Testament, Mark chapter 14, would you? Mark chapter 14. Here's why we need encouragement so much, so often, or so bad, however you want to put it. Mark chapter 14. Look, if you will, in verse 38. Mark chapter 14, verse 38. Here's the reason. The Lord was talking to his disciples, and he said, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Here it is. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. All right? Hey, we're humans. We need encouragement. Why? Because we're humans. We have to live in this body of flesh. We have to put up with this body. The flesh gets discouraged. Gets discouraged. We could just, man, you could tick off one time after another things that discourage you. All right? I get discouraged sometimes going places because I get stopped by every red light. Discouraging. I'll never make it. Never make it. And, if you're dieting, you get discouraged. You get on the scale. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. I was dieting last year and did lose a good bit of weight, but it was the situation where I was in. You were told, man, you're going to lose weight every week. And there was one week I didn't lose anything. Nothing. Not an ounce. Went and got on the scale at that place and they said, well, at least you didn't gain. I said, hey, I'm not going through this torture to not gain. It's a little discouraging, all right? Little discouraging when it happens that way. Hey, but we've got this body of flesh. We're humans. That's why we're going to need encouragement. Not only that, this is an extremely wicked world in which we live. Extremely wicked world. Now, here's what that means. If you're going to live for God, and you're going to maybe even work to help others live for God, there's going to be some incidents. There's going to be some individuals that are going to try to discourage you. I mean, you can count on it. It'll be that way. If you're a Christian and you decide, I'm going to set out to live for God, you're going to have those people that are going to say, you can't do it. You'll never be able to do that. You're just not going to do it. Hey, nobody's going to help you. You know you're going to be all by yourself out there. Hey, you're the only person that believes that. You're the only person. Man, I've heard people, come at that. You got people that are going to say, hey, look, it's okay to be a Christian, but you don't need to be a fanatic. He said, what are you saying? I'm saying you're going to be discouraged. You're going to try to live for God. There's going to be people that are going to come along and they're going to do their best to discourage you. All right? Now, some of them are going to do it out of what they think is a kind heart. Not maliciously. They're just ignorant people. But there's some people that are going to do it on purpose. They're going to come after you on purpose just trying because you endanger them. Hey, look, you do understand the better life you live and the more godly, the more holy your life is, the more you put pressure on other believers. And they go, oh, hey, hey, just ease off. You don't have to, it comes in that you don't have to be a fanatic. Well, if you're going to live for God, the world today is definitely going to think you're a fanatic. Look, the very fact you're here and it's Wednesday night is proof that you're at least partially fanatic. All right? There's got to be something wrong with you. You're socially unadjusted because you could find something else to do. All right? But obviously you have nothing else to do, nowhere else to go, so you show up at church Well, that's the world's view of it. They don't understand us, okay? But they'll try to discourage you. They'll try to discourage you. You're going to need it, all right? You're going to need encouragement. Now, how do we give encouragement? How does it come about? I mean, just what is it that encourages people? Well, obviously, the first thing we think of how do you encourage people is with words. With words. Take your Bible to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12, would you? Proverbs chapter 12. The Bible says a lot of things about our words and what we say and what it does. It can have a tremendously good effect, all right? Proverbs chapter 12, look there, if you will, in verse 25, all right? Proverbs chapter 12, down in verse 25, the Bible says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Good word maketh it glad. Look in chapter 15, verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. How good it is. If somebody just come along with a word, a good word, a word of encouragement, all right? Chapter 16, look at verse 24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. A word of encouragement, all right? Words of encouragement make life a lot sweeter. You don't believe it? Go home and criticize your wife, men. Just criticize her. Just keep criticizing. See if life gets sweeter, all right? Life won't get sweeter. But I tell you, if you go home, you learn to compliment, you'll learn to encourage and give good words, you'll find, hey, life's sweeter. It just works out better. Some of you ladies I'm having trouble with my husband. Try to encourage him a little bit. Try to encourage him. You know, sometimes we overlook the one that needs the encouragement the most. That one closest to us. We're looking out there for somebody that needs encouragement. But it's one right by you could use some. One right by you. Hey, those words, they provide refreshment for the one that's tired, the one that's maybe been battered a little bit by life. Can I just say this to you and I? We ought to strive to be the one that uses our words to encourage rather than to cut and condemn and criticize. We ought to be people more bent on encouragement. Now, wait a minute. There is a time to criticize. There is a time to condemn. But it's not all the time. It's not all the time. You need that discernment, all right? Words of encouragement. Words of encouragement. You say, what constitutes words of encouragement? Well, first of all, words of approval. Approval. You know, it's a good thing to know that somebody else approves of what you do. Don't you enjoy it when somebody approves of what you've done? They come along and say, hey, boy, I'm with you. I'm for you. You can make it. You can do it, all right? You've got the ability. I can see it in you. Hey, words of approval. Just, you got my approval. Sometimes people think you don't approve of anything. Now, I'll be honest with you. I can develop an extremely critical spirit. And that wasn't the time to say amen, all right? There's times that I can just get critical. And I find myself doing that. And I honestly just have to stop and try to straighten myself out a little bit and say, quit looking for something to criticize and look for something you can compliment, all right? Words that compliment. Hey, who doesn't like to hear good job? Who doesn't like to hear good job? Easiest thing in the world to do is criticize. Criticize people. Criticize what other folks do. Find fault with their performance. I've told you about a lady who's in our church for years over in Diamond Hill. She started coming pretty soon after we moved to Fort Worth. Her name was Mrs. Greer. And Mrs. Greer was kind of a character. Every church needs somebody like her. I'll never forget, I was playing the piano and learning to play the piano and working. And one night before church, I was playing the piano. Nobody else was there, hardly. Ms. Greer was there. And I was playing the piano. And it was getting closer time, more people coming in. So I quit and I stepped down. And I'll never forget Ms. Greer looking at me and said, "You made a few mistakes there, didn't you?" Well, God bless your heart, Ms. Greer. Thank you for pointing them out. I prefer to remember this individual. I was singing for a wedding. I had to sing the Lord's Prayer. And right over there, I stood right there and by the organ. The organist, he played the introduction. I started singing. But there was a problem. He was in one key, I was in another key. And as he would play the organ, he would kind of, look like that at me, And I was looking like that at him. I wanted to say, "I'm trying to get with you, okay, buddy? I'm doing the best I can." For the whole time singing that song, I never got on key. Never. Never. But thank God, after the wedding, there was a person said to me, "Brother Marlon, that was beautiful." Thank God for tone-deaf people, all right? But, I don't know if that person was trying to make me feel good or what, because, I'd slaughtered it. There's no doubt about it, okay? But it's still good to have somebody come along and say, "That's a good job." I've never heard anybody sing off-key as good as you do, They didn't add that part, but they could have, all right? It's a good thing. Anybody can criticize. Anybody can find fault. Brother Thomas, member of our church, he's not able to come. I'm sure he's watching tonight, but he's crippled up with arthritis. And I remember he hadn't been here coming too long. And after church, he was going out. And he said, "Hey, preacher, you made a few mistakes there today." Now, he was saying it in fun. And every time I see him now, I ask him, "How am I doing? Now, how am I doing?" Now, his criticism was okay, as it had a right spirit about it. And he was just giving me a hard time. But boy, some people are good at criticizing. We can absolutely pick people apart. Absolutely pick them apart. But man, thank God. For somebody that comes along and lets somebody think, "Hey, what you've done is a mighty fine job. It's worthy of a compliment. It's good. It's good." When we first got married, I ate some things that my wife is a great cook, okay? I'm a walking advertisement for that cook, but there were a few things, I ate, and I never said anything about it. We were married a long time before I finally spoke up and said, "Hey, I mentioned something," and we laugh about it now, and we laughed about it then, okay? But I didn't immediately start criticizing the cook. It's not smart, okay? Hey, it's good to take words and compliment people. Those are words that encourage. I'll tell you something else. Words of comfort also encourage people. Comforting words help encourage people that are going through a tough time. You don't have to look too far today to find somebody's going through a tough time. I mean, there's plenty. We got folks in our church going through hard times. Boy, it's tough. They don't make a big deal about it, but they are. That's a good thing to show up and give some comforting words, all right? Sometimes folks just need to be reassured that everything's going to be all right. Hey, in spite of the way it looks now, sun's going to come up tomorrow. It's going to come up tomorrow. And we just need that little bit of encouragement, all right? Need that little bit, and maybe you get out there and you've got good plans and you've got good ideas, but it flops. Just want to tell you, failure's not final. Not final unless we let it be that way. Oftentimes in talking to other folks that work with young people, I like to tell them of the biggest flop I ever had as a youth director for youth activity. I said, man, it was a disaster. And I thought it was going to be good. I put a lot of time into it, a lot of effort into it, fixed things up, and it was a flop. Kids were griping and complaining about it, you know. And they say, I'm not doing that. You can't make me do it. I won't do it. And I learned you can't do a country activity with city kids. You can't do it, all right? It just don't work, all right? And so I learned from that experience. You know, it would have been good if somebody had come along and said, hey, it's going to be all right. You get them next time. Next time be good. You know, that one didn't turn out, but it's all right. Hey, words of comfort. Words of comfort. Can I say this too? Another thing that helps you to encourage people, helps you to have a good sense of humor. Good sense of humor, all right? Look at Proverbs 17. This verse is going to be familiar. You've heard it. You've heard it mentioned. You've heard it read. You've seen it. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Boy, a merry heart, a good sense of humor can be a great encouragement to people. I have always tried my best to find something to get people to at least smile about. And hopefully even chuckle a little bit. I go to the hospital and see somebody. And I still try to get a little chuckle out of them. Hey, I know you're going through tough times, but I just want to be a little bit of encouragement to you. You need to see the humor in life. Now, some things aren't funny up close, but later on you can say, hey, we're going to look back at this and we're going to laugh. We're going to laugh about it. Just a good sense of humor. Sometimes the best thing, you can encourage yourself with a sense of humor. Just encourage yourself a little bit. Just realize, hey, it's okay. Just laugh at it. You need to learn to laugh at yourself and encourage other people to laugh at themselves. You know, I've told you about singing Disaster. I've done... First time I ever played the offertory. First time I ever played the offertory at church on the piano. Sat down, I gave the introduction, played the introduction again. I played the introduction three times. And then I said, thank you very much, and I sat down. I couldn't remember the rest of it. I mean, I'd played that piece from memory, I have no idea how many tons of times. But that night, I got through the introduction, bam, that was it. And if I could have just made the introduction sound good over and over, I would have tried it, all right? But it didn't work. Look, you got to learn to laugh at yourself. Got to learn to laugh at yourself. Got to learn to have a little bit of sense of humor. Now, you got to be careful. I want to say this to you. You got to be careful about using humor with the problems and trials somebody else is going through, all right? You got to be careful about it. You can't abuse it, but boy, sometimes it's good. If you can work that sense of humor in, I've told people, when I preach a funeral, I always, at some point in that funeral, would like to put a smile on the people's face that are grieving. I'd like to be able to put a smile on their face. I was preaching the funeral for Sandy Barber. And Brother and Miss Barber had four kids, and they started coming to church. They rode my bus to church, and they'd come, and Sandy was a nut. I mean, she was just a nut, all right? And so I preached her funeral. She died, and so I preached her funeral, and I was there, and her family was there, and I knew them, and they knew me. And I told them in that funeral, I said, hey, I just want to tell you something. This right here is just the shell, because the nut's gone home. Now, I could do that with them. They knew me. I knew them. And anybody that knew Sandy would have laughed, okay? They would have laughed. When we had Dad's funeral, my brother was leading the singing. We had congregational singing, if you'll remember, if you were there. And he was leading singing. We had a lady that was there. There's a friend of mine, and she came. She knew my dad, and so she came, and she said, I talked to her later, and she said, I thought a little bit, man, that song leader's just going a little bit too far. She said, but I didn't realize it was your brother and Brother Mosley's son. You know, the people that know, though, we can laugh, we can rejoice, we can chuckle at things, all right? We can chuckle at things. Don't be afraid to use humor to encourage people. And don't be afraid to do it. Proverbs 15. You still have your Bible open in Proverbs? Proverbs 15. Look, if you will, in verse 30. Proverbs 15, verse 30. The Bible said, the light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. Then look in chapter 25. Chapter 25, verse 25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Good news from a far country. Hey, good news encourages people. Good news encourages people. The truth is, sometimes it seems like there's no good news in this whole world. And sometimes you got to look long and hard to find good news. But good news encourages people. It encourages people. I was at one time, we lived in Georgia, and one day, wasn't too long before we moved to Florida, but fire truck came down the street. And it was myself and my brother and my dad was home, and you know, we do like all good people do. You look to see where it's going, and we could see fire down there. So we did what all good people do. We got in the car and went down there, all right? And so we were looking for, and man, when we got there, this house was just thoroughly engulfed in flames. I mean, there was no doubt about it. It was going to be a total loss. And the fellow that owned it was out front, and he said to the fireman, he said, be careful with your hose. That plant's the only thing I got left. You know, just a little good news. I got a plant, all right? Just, it's still hanging in there. Boy, it's such an encouragement to hear good news. Oftentimes, people come to church and they'll say, preacher, I need you to pray for somebody. Need you to pray about this, need you to pray about that. And it's usually not good news. But every now and then somebody says, hey, I got good news. And I always say, don't want to hear it, it'll ruin my day, you know? I like that good news, all right? We like it. And learn to look for good news to give to people, to encourage them with, all right? And just look for something good to say that could be an encouragement to that individual. Spend some time thinking about it. Proverbs 27. Look at verse 9. Proverbs 27, verse 9. The Bible says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And then down in verse 17, very well-known verse, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You talk about what gives encouragement. The presence of a friend gives encouragement. Just the presence of a friend. Now, sometimes a word from that friend can be an encouragement too. But there are other times when just your simple presence can be a great blessing. Great blessing. Just the fact that you're there. Times of trouble, times of trial, maybe times of disaster, time of death and tragedy. Hey, it's a blessing if you just show up. Our problem is we stop and think, well, I don't know what to say. Nobody else does either. Nobody else does either. In those kind of situations, I worry more about what not to say. And sometimes the greatest encouragement you can give is just your presence. Just your presence. Here I am. Here I am. I'm here. And hey, Job's friends, look back in Job chapter 2. We get an example of that in Job chapter 2. Job, man, had lost everything. Lost everything. And we get down to Job chapter 2 and we get verse 11. And the Bible says, "Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came everyone from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle, sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great." Hey, they were just there for 7 days. In some cases, after that 7 days, it'd probably been better if they'd have kept their mouth shut, all right? But for 7 days they were there, didn't say a word. You said, why were they there? They wanted to be an encouragement. They wanted to be an encouragement. You know, we fail to realize just our presence can be a help. Now, that doesn't mean that's because you're so wonderful. No, but you're a friend. You're a friend. And there's nothing like having a friend to stand with you. There is just nothing like having a friend to stand with you. Hey, you and I need to learn to be wise about encouragement. To be discerning about giving encouragement to people. Encourage them, all right? I'll be honest with you, faithful members are an encouragement to this preacher. You don't know what an encouragement is for me to be sitting there and see you come in. It's an encouragement. It's an encouragement. I mean, hey, just to know, hey, they're here. What a blessing. What a blessing. And I know you don't always come and preach, "That's the greatest sermon I ever heard in my life." But you keep coming anyway, all right? And I appreciate that. Hey, let me kind of wind up tonight by saying, learn to encourage yourself. Learn to encourage yourself. There's an account over in the book of Samuel where the Bible said David encouraged himself. David encouraged himself. Why? Because he is in a tough spot. All of his men were talking about killing him. They were mad at him, and he encouraged himself. You may find yourself in a situation at some point where no one else is going to encourage you. Now, I especially say this in serving God. You get serious about serving God. You may find yourself in a position where it seems nobody else is going to encourage you. And now, hopefully it's not people in the church go, "We ain't helping that dude." No, not, I don't mean that, but you're alone, you're out in the world, there's things going on, and there's nobody else around to encourage you. You need to learn to get a hold of God and encourage yourself. You just need to learn to do it. Get in this book. Get in this book and say, "Well, I don't know where to read." Just start and keep reading until you get some encouragement, all right? Just keep reading until there's something comes along that you can say, "Well, amen, I needed that." And get on your knees and pray and ask the Lord to help you, all right? Just encourage yourself. Hey, maybe get to the point where you can laugh at the situation you're in. Just laugh at the mess you've made most time. But go ahead and encourage yourself. Now, whatever you do, you ought to be an encourager. And I just suggest you look for people to encourage. Look for somebody that maybe needs a pat on the back. look for somebody that needs a little encouragement along the way. In spite of everything, you be the one that'll encourage them. But whatever you do, don't give encouragement to the wicked. Don't ever encourage wickedness. Don't ever give encouragement to the fool in his folly. I close tonight with Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. Proverbs 25, verse 11, would you look there? The Bible said a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. A word fitly spoken. Be an encourager. Be an encourager. Be one of those people that comes along and says, hey, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. I'm just here to encourage you. I'm just here to stand with you. 8 years ago when Brother Lester Roloff was going through all of the challenges and the trials with the state of Texas, a vast number of preachers came from all across the country to Corpus Christi just to stand with him to be an encouragement. Just be an encouragement. It's good to have somebody to be an encouragement. And you say, well, I need encouragement. Good. It's easier to get it if you learn to give it. It's easier to get it if you learn to give it. So don't always be looking for somebody, you know, don't put a sign around your neck, could you encourage me? But look for somebody that maybe looks like they need that sign around their neck and encourage them. Encourage them. Would you bow your heads tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed? You know, I'm not going to ask the pianist to come or instruments to play or the song leader to come, but listen.